The U.S. Census Bureau counts prisoners at the location they're at on the day of the census, instead of their home residence. That's different from the way college students or newborn babies are counted. As part of our election series, Oklahoma Engaged, Kate Carlton Greer reports the practice skews representation in favor of districts with prisons.
Robert Carr is McAllister's 4th Ward councilman. He's lived in the area almost his entire life. He drives a pickup truck around his district, pointing out some of his more unique constituents.
This guy right here is pretty interesting. Got his Batmobile car back there if you want to ever see a nice Batmobile car.
A few blocks down the road, Carr stops short of a barbed wire fence in front of a massive white brick building. There's a guard tower and 3 men in orange jumpsuits walking the grounds.
This is the entry to the prison. When we was kids, we ran all over here, used to fish on prison property and get run off. And
Oklahoma State Penitentiary sits in Carr's ward, but it's not the only prison here. Jackie Brannan Correctional Facility is another block away. And those prisoners, all 1,500 or so, are technically Carr's constituents. He gets a lot of grief from his fellow councilmen every time there's a disturbance behind the prison walls.
Well, you better calm down your constituents over there. And come on, councilman, take care of that problem.
It wasn't always this way. For most of McAllister's history, the city excluded the prison population from its redistricting process. But when the city adopted a new charter in 2006, it accidentally undid that practice. And when the redistricting committee redrew the lines, Carr's ward was cut in half.
Of course, I opposed it, and I said, you know, surely this isn't right. But they said the way our charter was written, that's the way it's going to have to be.
Instead of 3,000 constituents, Carr now represents around 1,300. His ward is less than half the size of others in the city, so his vote on the city council is actually more powerful. It might not be such a big deal in local politics, but
I can see somebody really, especially when you're more powerful than a local city, like a state representative or something, or a United States representative, it really wouldn't be fair, somebody like that.
It does create a distortion in the translation of votes into seats.
Keith Gowdy chairs the University of Oklahoma's political science department. He says prison gerrymandering, or drawing district lines with prisons inside so it benefits a particular party, is pretty common.
This means that you need fewer actual voters in the district. And it also means that you can draw a district with relatively few voters in it, but it meets the equal population criteria. But you've been able to fluff it up with a bunch of non-voters.
Nearly 10% of Oklahoma House District 59's population in western Oklahoma are prisoners, according to the Prison Policy Institute. Most were counted at the federal prison in El Reno and a private prison in Watonga, which has since closed. Alex Caistero with the Institute.
If you count a few people in the wrong place, like, that's not ideal.
But she says, as incarceration rates have grown, equal representation has become harder to maintain.
Starting really with the 2000 census, there's just been so many people incarcerated. When that data is used for redistricting purposes, it skews representation within a state and within counties and cities.
Without those prisoners in House District 59, the district would not meet federal minimum population requirements. Caistero says this practice also causes headaches because prisons can close at any time. The one in Watonga shut down just weeks after the 2010 census.
That particular facility where you're in on census day isn't representative of where you eat and sleep most of the time.
Political science professor Keith Gowdy says the practice benefits rural areas. He's unsure how intentional it is, but he says a Democratic representative did approach him in 2002 during that year's reshuffling.
And he said, Dr. Gowdy, you know, perfect Democratic district is like a nursing home at a junior college tacked onto a prison. That way you don't need a lot of actual voters.
As for McAllister's city troubles, citizens voted to amend the redistricting procedures to exclude the prisons. Robert Carr's hopeful the new ward lines will mean someone new could run for his post in 2018. He works full-time, has a couple grandkids, and is just ready for a break.
Hopefully, yeah, if we can redistrict before then, there may be some people that want to run, you know, and they do all contribute to their campaign.
As unfair as he says his pint-sized district is, Carr admits it's worked to his advantage. He receives half as many phone calls as his city council colleagues. For the Oklahoma Public Media Exchange, I'm Kate Carlton Greer.
Support for Oklahoma Engage comes from the Kirkpatrick Foundation. Find more of our election coverage at oklahomaengaged.com.